If you'll turn in your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter 5:8. When you find your place, if you'd stand with me if you're able to, for the preaching of the Word of God, or for the reading of the Word of God. Sorry. I appreciate that. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to be under the preaching of the word. I thank you for giving me another opportunity to preach it. I pray, Father, that you'd give me boldness to proclaim the word. I pray, Father, that you'd put the very words in my mouth that I need to preach this morning. I pray, Father, that you have prepared our hearts to receive with your word with gladness. I pray that we would take these words, that we would apply them to our life, that we would take them out and share them with others. Father, I pray that you would be lifted up and glorified. And I pray, Father, as your word has told us over and over and over, we need to draw nigh to you. You will then draw nigh to us, and the devil will flee from us. So we, Father, we pray that our faith would increase. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There are some that claim that there is no devil. It's interesting, isn't it, that some would say that. But for those, I would say that when you meet the devil, you know you're going his way. You're not going his way. If you meet him, obviously you're going to pass him, so you're not going his way. But if you never meet the devil, then obviously you're going the same way he is, right? So there is a devil. The Bible talks about him in quite a bit, as a matter of fact. Warns us about him, and we need to be aware that he is real. He is out there. And for the child of God, he is out there seeking to destroy our lives, to destroy our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, to make our testimonies of no effect in this world. Some don't believe that there is a devil because obviously they're going the same way he's going. They haven't met up with him yet. But as children of God, those who are believers in Jesus Christ, we know that we are going to meet that rascal every single day of our lives. He's after us. If you're doing anything at all for God, Satan is going to do everything he can to mess that up. Now, I've said many times, if you're just one of those born-again believers in Jesus Christ sitting on the sidelines doing nothing, well, Satan doesn't need to worry about you. You're not doing anything anyway. Why would he waste his time on you? But if you're busy about God's work, if you're trying to lead others to the Lord, he's concerned. He's going to do whatever he can to mess that up. It's difficult for people to say there's no existence of Satan when all you have to do is watch the news, or for people who are on social media, which it amazes me how much time people spend on social media. Every single hour of every single day, they can't get away from it. They're on it all the time. It's all over out there. Satan is out there trying to attack everyone. We read and we heard and we saw this last week the attack on life. When Charlie Kirk was gunned down. There's been a lot said about him in the last few days. Some people have said he deserved it. Some people have said he was a godly man that tried to do good. One even said that he was on his way to running for president of the United States one day. He was gunned down. 31 years of age. It's because of sin in the world, folks. Attack on decency. I don't care where you go. People don't know what modesty is anymore. It's amazing. Been with my wife on several occasions when we're out shopping and looking for dresses and all. I said, what happened to the people who used to put the rest of the dress on the dress? This idea that this dress has to barely come down off the waist is ridiculous. Modesty has gone out. Decency has gone out. The attack on the sanctity of marriage. When same-sex couples want to be treated the same as heterosexuals. God designed marriage, by the way. God's the one that performed the first marriage in the Bible. And God said it's between one man and one woman. And then he put a period. There's a reason for that. But we see this over and over and over. Satan is constantly attacking. And with this, how can anyone say that there is no devil? He does exist. The Word of God tells us he exists. Three things God wants us to consider in the verse from our text. He says, be sober. Be sober means to think rationally, not foolishly. So be sober. Then he says, be vigilant, which means to be alert. Take the appropriate steps to make certain that we do not stumble. And then he also tells us that Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. When God tells us that he's seeking whom he may devour, it's not because Satan wants to, you know, pat us on the back and tell us how great we are. He wants to devour us. The Bible tells us he exists, and then they also, the Bible will give us several characteristics of the devil. The first one, he has the ability to organize. Take your Bibles and turn over to Revelation chapter 20. I'm going to read verses 7 and 8 of Revelation 20. It says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. The fact that he can organize his forces shows that he exists. Then he also, number two, he has knowledge. He has knowledge. Look at Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12. Revelation 12:12 says, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he have but a short time. He has knowledge. The Bible says he knows that his time is short. It's good that he knows his time is short. The fact that he has this knowledge reveals that he is a personal being. And then three, he has intelligence. Satan is able to form plans and use cunning and deceive people. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:3. Says, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Obviously, if he can deceive Eve, all of us are fair game for him, right? We need to know the truth so that he can't corrupt, he can't deceive. Then number four, he can reason. The fact that Satan quoted Scripture to the Lord Jesus during the temptation in the wilderness shows that he is a personal being. He was able to reason to Jesus by quoting Scripture. Obviously, he took it out of context and everything, but he did try to quote Scripture to Jesus, so he can reason. And then number five, he has choice. He has the power of choice. In the beginning, he chose to rebel against God. He's been making that same choice ever since. Obviously, it's a sign of personality when you can make your own choice. And then six, Satan has emotions. The Bible speaks of the devil showing emotions. He's shown the emotion of hatred for the things of God. Look at Revelation 12:12 again, where it says, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that his time is short." He has great wrath. He's not happy. I often say, Satan should just give up. He knows he's losing. But he's going to see how many he can take with him. Great wrath. He exists, and he has these lists of his attributes. We can't do much for people who say he does not exist. It's hard to get them to believe something they don't want to believe. It's hard to get people to believe the truth when they've been bombarded with lies. It's hard to do that. But we, who are here today, should know for sure that he exists. And he is someone, a being in this world, that we need to be careful of. Remember years ago, I heard a guy say, "I bind thee, Satan, and put you behind me." We don't have that power. We aren't that powerful. We need to let God take care of Satan. The Bible is very clear. We need to draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to us, and Satan will flee from us. If we do it God's way, we don't have to mess with Satan because Satan's going to flee. This idea that we can go attack Satan, we must think we're something that we're not. We need God. We need to let God do it. Got to avoid this trap. Each and every day, Satan has laid traps out there for us. He's trying to trip us up. We need to avoid them. There are many things we can do, but two things we need to consider. The first one is we must not stray. Too many times people are straying from the Word of God. They're straying from the house of God. They're out there trying to fight on their own. You can't win. We don't have the power to win. Look at Psalm 119:67. Psalm 119, verse 67. Psalm 119, verse 67 says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." We need to not stray. We need to keep God's word. We need to not let Satan get to us. He realizes that we know he exists. So he knows he's wasting his time on us to try and get us to believe that he doesn't exist. Because we know he does. We take God's word as truth. If you've been saved any time at all, you know because Satan has personally attacked you. We know he exists. So he goes with Plan B. Plan B. He knows how effective he can be if we put the Lord first in our lives. We can be very effective in this world if we put God first. So he says, I'll just bring out Plan B. Plan B, he tries to sidetrack us. When I say that, it's like a train on a main track, and it'll be going on the main track, but then it comes to a sidetrack, and a switch is thrown, and the train goes off to the sidetrack. That's what Satan tries to do with us. We're following the Lord. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're obeying His commandments and all, and then all of a sudden, Satan throws the switch, and we go to the sidetrack. And he sidetracked us from doing what we're supposed to be doing. People say, well, how does he do that? Well, it's easy. This day and age, we're easily sidetracked. There's people that have been on fire for the Lord, and all of a sudden they got sidetracked, and they're not doing anything. Nothing at all. And the Apostle Paul talked about it in 2 Timothy 4:10 when he says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. There was a time when Demas was his fellow laborer. Then Demas forsook him because he loved the things of the world. He got sidetracked. What Paul's saying basically in a different way is Demas now has other interests. So Satan has said, well, if I can just get him to have other interests, I can get them sidetracked. What good are they going to be for God if they're sidetracked? They're going to be so focused on all these things on the sidetrack that they're not going to be focused on the things of God. Kind of easy to do, too. And that's exactly what Satan's doing. We'll no longer have time for private prayers each day because there's so much stuff going on. Mentioned the other day that I talked to a gentleman and he was telling me, how do you have time for everything? There is so much going on. He says, I got the job and I've got my wife and I've got kids and there's four of them and they're all in this sport and in this game and in that game and that, you're here, there, and everywhere. When do you have time for God? Said, well, you got to put Him first. When we put God last, we find that we have exhausted all our time on everything else and we don't have any time for God. So we don't have time for prayers each day. We don't have time for Bible study. As I mentioned during the Sunday school hour, people need to study. You can find out so much more about the Word of God if you study it. Some people will read stuff and I'll be sharing and I'll say, and this and that, well, where did you find that? It's in the Word of God. But you read a scripture and you go, well, it doesn't say in that scripture. Well, no, you've got to check other places of the Bible to find out all the story. But you got to be willing to study. And that takes time, right? People say, well, I just don't have time for that. They no longer have time to attend all the church services. They don't have any money to give to the Lord. The devil has sidetracked them, giving them all kinds of excuses, right? Boy, we can come up with some good excuses too, can't we? I mean, some of the best. And we think, well, this is one God's never heard. Let me tell you, God has heard every excuse known to man. And He knows our hearts. So He knows when we come up with these excuses for not doing what we're supposed to do, it's because we don't want to. Not because we can't, but because we don't want to. Because Satan has told us all these other things are more important. And it turns out we no longer feel guilty when we don't have time for God because Satan's got us convinced that all these things are more important. Do all these things, and then Satan sidetracks us, and he says, they're no longer a problem because they're no longer a threat to Satan's kingdom because they're not doing anything for God. They don't even feel guilty when they disobey the Word of God anymore. And then Satan's got us exactly where he wants us. If he can't sidetrack us, then he uses another tool. We know he exists, so he causes us to stray. If he can't sidetrack, he causes us to stray. He tries to get us too busy to serve the Lord. I found this interesting. There's a legend out there that says Satan called all of his worldwide convention of demons to cause Christians to stray. In his opening address, he said this: "We can't keep Christians from going to church. We can't keep them from reading their Bibles and knowing the truth. We can't even keep them from forming an intimate relationship with the Savior. Once they gain that connection with Jesus, our power over them is broken. So let them go to their churches. Let them have their potlucks, but steal their time so they don't have time to develop a relationship with Christ." How shall we do this, his demons asked. Keep them busy in the non-essentials of life and invent innumerable schemes to occupy their minds, he answered. Overstimulate their minds so they cannot hear that still, small voice. Entice them to play the radio or the CD player whenever they drive. To keep the TV, the DVR, the CDs, and their PCs going constantly in their home. And see to that every store and restaurant in the world plays non-biblical music constantly. This will jam their minds and break that union with Christ. Then fill their coffee tables with magazines and newspapers. Pound their minds with the news 24 hours a day. You don't think that's happening? Told everybody, you got a smartphone? You've got everything 24 hours a day at your fingertips. Invade their driving moments with billboards. Flood their mailboxes with junk mail. Yeah, I'd like to get rid of that. Mail order catalogs, sweepstakes, and every kind of newsletter and promotional offering free products, services, and false hopes. Keep skinny, beautiful models on the magazines and TV so the husbands will believe that outward beauty is what is important, and they will become dissatisfied with their wives that will split their families quickly. Isn't that what we see everywhere? I've said for years, why does some scantily clad woman have to be in an ad for a hamburger? What do the two have to do with each other? How about car sales? And again, I'll say if they would start making clothes that actually covered up something, it would be nice. Number five, even in their recreation, let them be excessive. Have them return from their recreation exhausted. Keep them too busy to go out in nature and reflect on God's creation. Send them to amusement parks, sporting events, plays, concerts, and movies instead. Keep them busy, busy, busy. Crowd their lives with so many good causes that they have no time to seek the power of Jesus. Soon they'll be working in their own strength, sacrificing their health and family for the good of the cause. When Satan gave them plan B, the demons cried, "That will work for sure." Let me tell you, it is working. Because too many of God's children have bought into this idea. We know that he exists. God's children know he exists. But many have fallen for plan B, hook, line, and sinker. It's quite a plan. And it's working. So the demons went eagerly to their assignments, causing Christians everywhere to have little time for their God or their families. Satan wants to sidetrack every Christian and get them so busy that they will not have time to serve the Lord. God's churches are filled with God's children. They'll go week after week after week, talk to sinners about everything you can think of, and not once talk to them about the Lord. We'll go week after week after week talking to people and never once invite them to attend church with us. We'll go week after week and not even make time to talk to the Lord each and every day. Well, I ran out of time, right? I let everything else invade my life that I have no time for all these things that are important. But Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. He knows we're no threat to his kingdom if he can attack us and get us sidetracked or keep us busy so we don't have time for the Lord in our lives. If we're going to fight off the attacks of Satan, we have to devote our lives to the Lord. We have to be so divided to him, so devoted to him, sorry, that nothing that Satan does will cause us to go astray. So we must not stray, and we must not strut. Look at Proverbs 16:18. Proverbs 16, verse 18. It says, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Yeah. It's a powerful verse of Scripture. It tells us that pride goeth before destruction. Pride. It's a problem. Pride is a ticking time bomb. It's destroyed lives. Destroyed a lot of lives. We live in a society where people think pretty highly of themselves. It's not bad to think highly of ourselves, but the Bible warns us about thinking too highly of ourselves. We need to be careful of that. Look at Romans 12:3. Romans 12:3 says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. There's some that think very highly of themselves. In fact, there's men and women out there that think they are God's gift to the opposite sex, right? We need to be careful we don't get in that idea that we think so highly of ourselves that we think we're so much better than everybody else. It's amazing. The Bible says pride goeth before destruction. Watch out for those who are bragging so much about themselves. There's a problem. There's a problem. Satan wants to attack us and make us proud because he knows a man can become so proud that he lives his life as if he does not need God. We run into that, don't we, over and over and over? Well, I don't need God. I can take care of this. The more we get that attitude, the more we never turn to God, because everything we can handle. All sin can be tracked back to pride. Pride is an attitude that focuses undue attention on self and opens the door to a host of other sins. C.S. Lewis said this about pride, and I quote, pride leads to every other vice. It is the complete anti-God state of mind. It is pride which has been the chief cause of misery in every nation and every family since the world began. Make no mistake about it, pride is a great sin. It is the devil's most effective and destructive tool. End quote. Proud person wants all the attention and all the praise for themselves. They're not even willing to share attention and praise with Almighty God. But the opposite of pride is humility. Humility. Something that we don't like to talk about. To humble ourselves. It's hard to humble ourselves when we have so much pride in our lives. But we need to humble ourselves. Let me tell you this. We can humble ourselves, or the Lord can humble us. I think I'd rather have us do it than have to wait for the Lord to do it. When the Lord humbles us, it's rough. But God's Word teaches us that we are to overcome pride with humility. Let me add this too. The Bible tells us that God hates pride. We all have things that we hate. One of my favorites that I hate is when people are at an intersection and the light changes green and they sit there. Until they wake up, get off their phone, and make it through the light just in time for it to turn red for everybody else that's behind them. I find that so selfish. It's like they're the only ones out there and the road was built for them, right? I a lot of times will say, hang up the phone and drive. You wonder, right? I hate it when trains cross main streets that I need to get past in the busiest part of the day. And then they stop and sit there. Forever, it seems. We all have things we hate, right? But the Bible says that God hates pride. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. Verses 16 through 19. Proverbs 6, starting verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Pride is the first on the list. The first on the list of things God hates. Proud look. Pride. It's the only disease that makes everyone sick but the one who has it. And pride is overcome by humility. Twice in Proverbs we find the statement before honor is humility. In Proverbs 15:33 it says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 18:12 says, before destruction the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Look at 1 Peter 5:5. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. To the humble. Paul wrote, be clothed with humility. A helpful phrase when we consider that our clothes are often the first thing people see of us. People see that you're humble? Or do people see that you're proud? Prideful. Every day, Satan is setting snares to keep our lives from bringing glory to the Lord. He attacks us every single day, trying to make us stray and trying to make us strut. But the Lord is powerful enough to help us. We can overcome this. Again, I said, if we draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to us and Satan will flee from us. Then we don't have to deal with Him. We need to come to recognize the greatness of God. And when we do, it will be a humbling experience. So are we going to let Satan win? Or are we going to let God win? Are we going to let Satan make us stray? Stray from God? Stray from the church? Stray from the Word? Stray from praying? We're going to let him get us so interested in ourselves and all that we strut around telling people how great we are? Are we going to realize how great God is? Stay with Him. Stay focused on the Lord. I've said if we put God first, everything else falls into place. We don't have to be worried about it. We don't have to concern ourselves. We can just focus on God. Things fall into place. We need to recognize His greatness. And then instead of telling people how great we are, how about if we tell them how great our God is? Get the attention and focus off of us and get it on who rightly deserves it. So who are you going to let win in your life? Satan or God? Let's pray.